We've already sorted that part out. I know that you and his brother had issues, but we're not young or going into this with eyes half open. Connor knows my demons, and he's told me about his. I appreciate that you want to help me, and I hear your words, truly I do. But there's something between us. We have a child together, and I don't know, Sydney, it's just so
easy to love him.
I want to shake my head in denial. I don't love him, at least not like that yet. I know I could. I know my heart wants to leap, but I keep my head in check. Love is powerful and can be used against someone if its bearer doesn't have good intentions, and I refuse to leap again without first knowing what I'm leaping into. Easy to want to love him, at least. Sid extends her hand and covers mine. I'm not telling you to stay away from him or anything like that. I want you to be careful. Seeing you or Hadley experience even half the pain that I have, well, I'd do just about anything to make sure that doesn't happen.
I appreciate that. She smiles.
Now, let's celebrate your upcoming divorce and get food.
I grab my purse with the widest grin and nod. Yes, let's. Today is filled with possibilities and joy, and I plan to enjoy both, but there's something niggling at the back of my head, telling me I'm not there yet. I'm not sure why I'm here. Every instinct and red light is flashing, warning me to turn back. But here I am in Luzerne County Prison, with a wall of glass separating me from an empty room. My hands are tingling because my nerves are through the roof. I know he can't hurt me, touch me, or do anything at this point. Yet, just knowing I'll see Kevin makes me feel sick. Still, I need to say these things. I need to face him and let him know that I'm not afraid. Well, I am, but I won't show it. On the other side of the glass divider, a row of inmates all dressed in their orange jumpsuits starts to file in. I grasp my hands in my lap below the counter and wait. He walks slowly, eyes not meeting mine until he sits down. This man has been the cause of my fear for so damn long. He's tormented me, haunted me, and now when I look at him, he seems so small. Kevin sits and takes the phone off the wall, and I do the same.
Are you here to kick me when I'm down?
His deep voice rasps through the line. It would be no different from what you did to me. His eyes close, head falling forward, but he keeps the phone to his ear. I'm not here for that. I'm here because, well, I don't really even know, but I felt that I wanted to have some closure, regardless of how the trial goes. He laughs once.
Closure. You're my fucking wife, Ellie. You cheated on me and you want closure. How the fuck,
he says through gritted teeth,
could you lie to me for 7 years about her being my daughter? Were you that desperate to be loved that you manipulated me all this time? I gave you everything, and this is what I learn?
Gave me everything? You hit me, Kevin. You hit me when you couldn't control me. You called me fat, ugly, worthless. You withheld love, affection, and used sex as a weapon. You beat me both physically and emotionally. I didn't know if Hadley was yours, and I didn't manipulate you. It was honestly more plausible than my getting pregnant the one time I was with someone else, before we were married. He slams his hand on the counter, and I jump.
One time. You're a fucking liar and a cheat. You want a divorce? Fine. I'm all too happy to be done with you and her.
My chest tightens and tears threaten to form. I don't care that he says he's happy to be done with me. I really don't. But I thought maybe he'd have some slight affection toward Hadley. I don't know why, since he's a bastard in every sense, but she adored him. She meant so little to you? Kevin shakes his head, reminding me of how callous he really is.
Why are you here? Did you want me to have a look at you in the eyes and tell you what? I signed your fucking papers. I don't want to be married to a gold digger who fucks other men. You want a divorce? Go. Take your bastard child and leave.
I came because a part of me felt bad for you. Silly me. I thought that maybe it really hurt you and you wanted answers. When Kevin leans forward, anger fills his eyes.
You put me in jail, divorced me, and then told me the brat I've been raising for 7 years isn't even mine. Feel bad? I'm fucking relieved to be done with you, and when the judge hears what a whore you are, I'm pretty sure I won't be in here after the trial. If I were you, Ellie, I'd do what I could to avoid running into me. Ever.
And with that, he hangs up the phone and stands. I look at the man I once loved and wanted to make happy, who is now a stranger to me. I came here for closure, and I guess that's exactly what I got. There was no love between us. It was possession and control. That was all we were to him. Nothing but expendable property all along.
Chapter 26. Connor. What do you mean you have a kid? Declan asks after I get done informing him of what's happened the last week. I've been avoiding his calls, saying I have no service and texting him updates instead. I don't need a lecture or a reminder of what my brothers and I vowed to each other. None of that matters anymore. We're adults, and if any of them don't understand, they can fuck right the hell off. I have a daughter. Silence fills the other end of the phone. You've been there for what, almost 4 months? How the fuck did you father a kid in that little of time? I sigh and launch into the explanation of Ellie and Hadley. I've held that night close to the chest. There was no reason to tell anyone because it was just mine. Telling Declan everything now makes me feel like a tool. He's always been more of a father than anything and has the most guilt and disappointment over the things we've endured and done. Jesus Christ, Connor. I picture my brother in his fancy high-rise office, flopping down in his chair with his hand over his face. Look, I know you're probably pissed at me, but I'm happy. I love this little girl and I'm falling hard for Ellie. I can't explain it, but it's like she's this perfect other half of me. I'm not asking your permission or asking for anything else other than your understanding. Declan releases a low, long sigh. I get it more than anyone, brother. I've had that kind of love before. Speaking of Sid, she's Ellie's best friend. You've seen her? There's an animation in his voice that wasn't there a moment ago. He can pretend with anyone else, but he can't with me. He loves her. He always has. And she's the reason my brother will never find happiness. She was here the other night. Fuck. I can't see her. You're not going to have a choice when you're back in Sugarloaf for your 6-month sentence, I remind him. My brother may be some big shot in New York City, but Sydney will bring him to his knees. And what are you planning to do with your new family? Are you moving? Going to get a job? Do something else? This is the main reason for my call. He's going to lose his shit, but my other brothers will be worse. If I have any hope of selling this idea to them, I'll need Declan on my side. I'd like to buy a parcel of the land. I'm sorry, what? He nearly chokes on the words. Hadley has only ever known Sugarloaf as her home, and we have enough acreage to buy a part of it. There is no mortgage, so I'd like to buy some of it. Are you fucking insane? You want to stay in fucking Sugarloaf? Do you remember the reasons we left, Connor? Of all the damn things I thought I would listen to, this has to be the most asinine thing ever. Now it's my turn to yell. Yes, I'm fucking insane because I want to be a father to my kid. I want to give her what we didn't have, stability. You may run from the things you love, Declan, but I don't. I found the woman I literally dreamed of for 8 years, and I'm not letting her go. If she wants me to live here and be buried on this land, I will. He huffs and doesn't say anything. We're both pissed off, and our tempers are known to get the better of us. We also love a good verbal sparring with each other, so I doubt whatever words get slung will have any lasting effect. And what are you going to do for work? How do you plan to buy this land? I'm not an idiot. I can find a job. Not that I've gotten to that point yet, because I've been busy serving out my sentence, but I'll figure it out. I got my degree while I was in the Navy, and while dairy farming isn't really what I want to do, I could probably do fine with a smaller herd. Maybe. You're not thinking. No, you're not listening. I called to tell you about your niece, who is wonderful, and that I'm actually doing well and am happy. But you're too much of a selfish dick to hear that. This is just like you. You think only about you. What about Sean and Jacob? What are we all going to do to pay for a part of the land that you were going to inherit? Come on. I don't want that damn farm or any of the land, but we all made a promise never to move back. That promise had been the one thing that kept me from talking to him about this. My brothers were the only things in this world that mattered to me, and I loved them. But I can't live my life like this. You of all people should know that things change, Vec. We aren't the same boys we were. He doesn't say anything right away, and I look down at my phone to see if he hung up. No. His voice breaks the silence. I guess we're not. Tell me about Hadley. Then I remember that my brother isn't a bad guy. He's just protective. Hadley comes running to the barn, brown hair up in a ponytail, and her nose is bright red from the chill.
Where's Mom?
She went to see Sydney. I'm sure they'll be talking for hours. Hand me the wrench. I instruct her while I work on this stupid tractor. No matter what I fix, replace, or tinker with, the damn thing won't start. While I would love nothing more than to set it on fire and get a new one, it's only 3 years old and should work. It's a test of wills at this point, and I refuse to give up.
Do the brown cows make chocolate milk?
Hadley randomly asks. No.
Really? Because hippopotamuses have pink milk, which is weird. I wonder if it's strawberry flavored. I used to like strawberries, but one time I ate too many and got sick.
These stories might have seemed stupid before, but now I want to know everything. I've worked really fucking hard not to look at Hadley any differently or hug her too tightly. All I want to do is tell her the truth, pull her close, and promise her the world. I want to make up for the time we've lost, which isn't possible. Yeah, I love strawberries.
I could love them again,
she says quickly. I smile. I really love this kid. What else don't you like?
Ducks.
My head whips around to stare at her. Ducks? She nods.
Sydney said that we both have anatidaphobia. It's a big word, I know.
Sydney is in on this? Great. And what exactly did Sydney say?
Well, she asked me if I liked ducks, and I said they're okay, but they have weird eyes. And she agreed and told me that you don't like ducks either, which means I decided that ducks really are dumb. When I told Sydney, she said that you have anatidaphobia. I looked it up and decided we both have it because I don't like when they look at me and neither do you. We have a lot in common.
I'm not sure whether I should laugh or drive to Sydney's house and leave 100 fake spiders in her bed and see who laughs then. But then I look at my daughter, who looks like our hatred of ducks has solidified her place in my world, and I don't care. We really do. Her beaming smile grows brighter.
Do you know what else I'm afraid of?
No, what?
The tooth fairy.
I chuckle. Really?
She's so creepy. Who comes into your room when you're sleeping and takes teeth? If I could be anything cool, it wouldn't be that. I'd probably want to be Santa Claus because he gives presents and makes people happy. I like to make people happy. Do I make you happy, Connor?
I put my wrench down and move to sit beside her, grabbing us each our water bottles that Ellie makes us before we come out to the barn to work. You definitely make me happy, Squirt. Finding you up in that treehouse was the best thing that happened to me in a long time.
Really?
Her green eyes brighten. Really?
I love you,
she says, and then wraps her arms around me, leaving me stunned. I wrap my arm around her and pull her tight, not caring about the rules I've created. I love you too, kid. I love you too.
Chapter 27. Ellie.
Do you want to watch a movie? I ask as I come back into the living room. I just got Hadley to sleep and I'm doing anything I can to stop my mind from going to what happened today. I'm exhausted, on edge, and need a distraction.
Yep, I already have it ready to go.
You picked it already? He nods.
I sure did.
I'm worried.
As you should be, Angel. But since you asked me for a date tonight, it's only fair I get to pick.
I'm not sure about his logic, but I'm willing to give him this win because I don't have the energy to fight. Then I get to pick the snacks. Connor eats healthy for the most part. His breakfast and lunches are all about macros and some other term, and his idea of a good snack is carrots or peppers. I'm feeling Oreos and milk are needed tonight. There's mirth dancing in his eyes,
as though he can read my mind and knows he's in trouble. I'm not sure I want to take that compromise. What can I do to persuade you? You could kiss me. I move closer, standing in front of where he's sitting on the edge of the couch. I like this position over him. I think I could oblige. I lean down, my hair creating a curtain around us, and while Connor may have asked me to kiss him, it's him who takes over when our lips touch. His hand slips into my hair, holding me where he wants me, but I want to be closer to him, so I push him back against the couch and straddle him. The look of surprise in his eyes causes me to grin, but it doesn't last long because I need his kiss. I want to be lost in his touch, warmth, and affection. His arms snake around my back, and I kiss him with everything I am. Our tongues move together, my fingers run through his hair, and I grind down on him. I don't know if it's everything that happened today that has me so desperate for him, but I want to forget it all. I want the world to fade away in the way that only Connor can do for me. Easy, Angel, he murmurs as I kiss him again. I need you. He holds my face in his hands, studying me. I'm right here. Guilt assaults me because it's not right to use him this way. I had no plans to tell him I went to see Kevin. I didn't plan to tell anyone, but he deserves the truth, no matter what. I went to the jail today. Please tell me it's because you had some distant relative incarcerated. I talked to Kevin. His body goes tight, and I flinch, waiting for the anger and not expecting the horror I get.
Did you think I was going to hurt you?
I start to get up, needing space, but Connor grabs my hips, forcing me to stay.
Ellie, I will never hurt you in anger.
I know.
I'll tell you until you believe it. Was I upset just now? Yes. Not because you went, but because I hate the idea of that asshole anywhere near you. I would have gone with you if you had asked. All I want, all I will ever want, is to keep you and Hadley safe. And anything that puts you in danger has me on edge.
I was safe. He can't hurt me there. Connor releases a breath through his nose.
Then why are you on edge? What did he say to you?
This has to be the most uncomfortable conversation in the most uncomfortable position. I'm sitting on the lap of the guy I've sort of moved in with who I'm falling in love with and talking about the man I'm currently divorcing. He said I was worthless and that he signed the divorce papers. He wants out and wants my bastard of a child not to be his issue. He basically let me know that he's not at all upset about it and I'm a whore.
I'll fucking kill him, Connor says through gritted teeth.
I place my hand on his cheek. And then what? I'd lose you again? Hadley would lose you. He isn't worth it. He closes his eyes and then takes a beat before opening them.
That man will never speak to you again, do you understand? I can't fucking handle it. He will never come near Hadley, and I swear to God, Ellie, you can't be alone with him.
I have no intention of it. After today, there's nothing left to say. We'll be divorced since he signed the papers. And considering the charges and judge's notes on what happened, they'll sign off on it instead of making us go through mediation. Sydney provided a lot of notes and evidence to support the claim of abuse, including photos. Now that it's clear he wants nothing to do with Hadley, it's simpler.
Just thinking of you being near him.
I can see how distressed he is, and I hate that I caused it. It was something I needed to do, even though it only confirmed what I already knew. His eyes, which are full of understanding, meet mine.
I get it.
Your father? I guess. He blows out a breath and then tucks a strand of hair behind my ear. It's such a simple gesture, but the tenderness he's showing even in his anger speaks more than any words can. He isn't calling me names or yelling. He's showing me understanding.
I confronted him more times than I care to count. I could never get through to him, and he felt no remorse for what he put us through, which is why when I left, I never returned. You can't make monsters see the light, Angel. You can't show them a better way because the darkness is what calls to them.
I shift in his lap again, feeling slightly self-conscious that the first time we were like this, I did it to forget. Connor, I say softly, running my hands through his hair.
Yes.
Can we start tonight over? Can I kiss you because you gave me something tonight I didn't know I needed? Can I lie in your arms as we watch a movie and enjoy that it's even possible to do? He moves his hands to my face, gingerly grips my cheeks, and then brings my mouth to his. This kiss is his and only his. My head swims with the sensations and emotions that he seems to be infusing into his lips. I feel his love, and more than that, I feel cherished. We both deepen the kiss, not knowing where one begins and one ends. My fingers move to his chest, and I revel in the way his muscles flex under my touch. Then his hands drift down my neck and to my back, grazing the sides of my breasts before landing on my ass. He grips me, pulling me a little higher until I can feel his erection growing. Connor, his name is a prayer.
I want you so much.
I want you too. And I do, even more when we're kissing, when I can taste, smell, and breathe all that is glorious and perfect about him. You make me feel so good.
You lead this, Ellie. I won't do anything you don't ask me to.
He kisses me again and then pulls back, causing me to whimper.
Tell me, baby, whatever you want.
My heart pounds so loudly it makes me dizzy. Kiss me. He does. He kisses me as though it's the only thing he was made to do. Our tongues clash over and over, driving me crazy. I need more. I want more. I want him to touch me and love me. Touch me. I barely get the words out before I go back to his lips. He's the only man who has ever made me feel like this. Never in my life has someone kissed as thoroughly as Connor does. It's a full-bodied experience, and right now, my body wants more. I've been loved by him before. I've felt him inside me, and I want to feel it all over again. Connor's hands glide up my back and then back down. He breaks the kiss, and we watch each other as his hands move to my chest. Knowing he's measuring my response, I tear my shirt off, revealing my breasts to him, and then I grip his wrists so I can guide him there. The heat in his gaze is enough to melt me, and my head falls back as he rubs his thumbs against my nipples and kneads my breasts. I swear that I could come just like this. I bring my head back up, and his touch, his eyes, and the power he's giving me is too much.
You're so perfect. You're everything, Ellie. Tell me what you want.
More. He smirks but shakes his head, warm breath caressing my bare skin.
Be specific. Do you want my mouth on your gorgeous breasts? Do you want me to kiss your lips again? What do you want, Angel?
I've never been vocal. In fact, I've always been forced to be quiet and obey. I don't know how to do this, but here is this big, strong man surrendering himself to me, which is something I don't think he's ever done for anyone else. I want to be brave for him. I want your mouth on my breasts. Heat flashes in his green eyes, and then, without breaking our connection, his tongue circles my nipple, which is the hottest thing I've ever seen. My fingers slide into his hair as he worships me. He kisses, sucks, and caresses my skin before going to the other side. It's heaven and hell all at the same time. I start to move my hips, needing more.
That's it, Angel. Take what you want. Use me. Ride me and take what you need.
His words should embarrass me, but they don't. And I do as he says, giving myself the friction I so desperately need. We go at it like teenagers who don't know any better, but it's perfect. I start to build as Connor's mouth is on my breasts and his cock strains against his jeans at the exact angle I need. My heart is pounding, body tense as I search for my release.
Let go, Ellie. Let go, I'll catch you. I've got you in my arms and I won't let you fall.
I push harder, moving faster as he groans. His tongue rolls my nipple around and then I feel his teeth bite down just enough and then I fly. My eyes close, head falling back, and he's right there, kissing my skin as I have what might be the best orgasm of my life. My breathing starts to come back as embarrassment washes over me. Connor looks up at me.
That was the sexiest thing I've ever seen, watching you let go. It was beautiful.
I shift, and he winces. But you... He takes my face in his hands and kisses me tenderly before bringing my forehead to rest on his.
I got everything I wanted, but I do need to...
He shifts.
Go to the bathroom for a minute. When I come back, I'm going to hold you and force you to watch a movie. Don't go anywhere, okay?
I don't know that my legs would even work if I tried. Okay.
Thank you.
For what? Connor gives me a smile that melts my bashfulness away.
For trusting me.
I kiss him again. Thank you for being a man I can trust. I stop myself, knowing that it's too soon to tell him that I'm falling in love with him. I'm not even sure if I should love him, but here I am, hopelessly feeling as if I don't have a choice in it. I love him. I think I might have fallen in love with him that night 8 years ago, and I'm only just now allowing myself to acknowledge it.
You...
I wanted to say that it means a lot to me.
You mean a lot to me, Ellie.
And I feel the same about you. He brings my palm to his mouth and kisses it.
I'll be right back.
I get up and watch him walk toward the bathroom, feeling guilty that he was left unsatisfied. But then he turns and winks. He's truly the best man in the world, and for now, he's mine. After a few minutes, he returns, and I'm sated and full of contentment as Connor wraps his arms around me and we snuggle on the couch. He pushes play, and I burst out laughing at his movie choice. Only Connor would pick Beauty and the Beast. Chapter 28. It's the most beautiful fall day I've ever seen. The cool air is clean and crisp, and the sun is bright, illuminating every gorgeous color in the leaves. I stand on the porch with a cup of coffee, staring out at the cornucopia of reds and oranges that seem to soothe my soul. Connor, Hadley, and I are going out for an adventure today. I have no idea what we're doing, but I was told to dress warm because we'll be outside. Surprises used to be unwelcome, but with Connor, I never worry. He is beyond thoughtful, and each day I'm around him, I fall further in love with him. Since the night on the couch a week ago, we haven't fooled around a bit, and it's all I seem to think about. When he brushes by me in the hall, I want to grab him and kiss him. He finds these little ways to touch me without really touching me. It's driving me nuts.
Mommy, where do you think we're going?
Hadley asks, breaking the calm of the early morning I was savoring. I'm not sure, Peanut. What do you think?
I think he's taking us horseback riding.
I tilt my head and narrow my eyes. Does he have a horse? To be honest, I have no idea what Connor has on this farm other than a lot of work. He's been working on the barn and all the equipment in it since we got here. When he fixed the tractor yesterday, you would have thought he won the lottery. He was so overjoyed it was comical to watch.
No.
I see the wheels turning.
You don't think he thinks we can ride the cows, do you?
I chuckle and shake my head. I think he knows better.
Are you sure? He's not really good with the cows.
She isn't wrong. Thankfully, the foreman, Joe, and the workers on what was my farm love me and came here to help Connor. They hated Kevin and were all too happy to leave him, especially after they found out he beat me. We've moved the Walcott cows onto Arrowwood land to ensure nothing happened to them, but Kevin's farm is no longer functioning. I guess we could let him know if he tries it, I say conspiratorially. But he seemed really excited.
Mommy, is it okay if I love Connor?
Her question knocks the air from my lungs. She and Connor have become very close, and he's made it very clear he wants Hadley and me in his life. Yes, baby, it's very okay that you love him.
Good, because I do.
I'm glad. He loves you too. She beams.
I know, he told me. Do you think Daddy will be mad?
Shit, I don't know what to tell her, but I don't want to lie either. She hasn't said anything about Kevin recently. In fact, she's been completely avoiding anything that even remotely pertains to him. We haven't told her that Kevin isn't her biological father yet, and I know that Connor wants her to find out in a special way. I don't want to take that from her. Hadley, I squat and take her wrists in my hands.
Do you remember what I told you about love?
She purses her lips and shrugs.
No.
Typical kid.
Well, I told you that when you love someone, it's a gift, and that the person on the other end should always be grateful for it. How do you think you would feel if Connor was a part of our life? Would you want him to always be around?
Like a dad? I nod.
Yeah, like that.
If we spent time with him and maybe loved him with all our hearts. I'm on very shaky ground, but I'd like to gauge her receptiveness a bit. She's a huge part of my decision-making process. If the idea scares her, I will back off.
I will never again put her in a position where she's filled with fear.
Do you love Connor?
I do. She smiles so wide, I worry she'll break her face.
I think he loves you too, Mommy.
Her voice is just a whisper.
Why do you think that?
He watches you.
Watches me?
Hadley nods.
He stares at you, and I think he loves you and wants to kiss you.
Oh, she would be very right on the kissing part, but Connor and I are clearly not doing very good at hiding our feelings. Just then, he comes striding up to the house like straight out of an Austen novel. He strides through the thick grass as though he's Mr. Darcy, with the sun streaming from behind him. He's so damn gorgeous that if I weren't holding Hadley's hand, I'd be running toward him.
See?
Hadley's voice is quiet. He's watching you. I look down at her with a grin. Yeah, I guess he is.
I want to stay with Connor.
I don't say anything, but I squeeze her hand a little.
There are my girls. How about we go on our adventure?
I'd go anywhere with him. Hadley releases my hand and jumps off the porch toward him without warning. I almost scream, but he catches her without missing a beat.
Where are we going?
She asks as she wraps her arms around his neck.
It's a surprise.
Let's go,
Hadley exclaims. We grab our jackets and get into his car. Hadley has her headphones on and is watching a show, oblivious to where we're going. Throughout the ride, I keep sneaking looks at him, and each time he catches me, he grins. Subtly, he places his hand on the center console and inches it closer to mine. Following his lead, I do the same until the tips of our fingers hook together. I glance back at Hadley, who is engrossed in her show. She asked about you and us today. He glances up in the mirror and then back to me. And? I think we should tell her.
You know what that means.
I do. It means that this thing we're doing is real. It means that he wants us to be a family, and he wants us to move in with him and commit to something more. As much as fear is a very relevant feeling, when I look at him, I still can't imagine any other outcome. Walking away from him isn't possible. I love him. It might be fast, but it's what I feel in my heart. Connor is selfless, and I've never had that before. I want it all, but I need to go slow.
I know.
As long as you understand that. His hand shifts, and he weaves our hands a bit tighter together.
We can tell her, and the rest is at your pace. Just know that when it comes to her, I may not be able to pump the brakes.
That part is perfectly fine. I want her to love him, and I want her to be the one thing he loves more than anything. He and I can pace ourselves a bit and don't need to work on a timeline, but I won't rob them of any more time together. Be gentle with her, if she'll let you. He smiles.
I don't think you know how happy you made me.
My cheeks burn. That's all I want to do, and he has no clue what he does for me. Every minute with Connor is a gift. You do the same for me. I glance back again to make sure she isn't listening. I just hope she doesn't hate us after this.
We'll tread carefully.
I can't help but be nervous and anxious about this. While she loves Connor, she gets him as this friend. When he steps into the role as parent, her relationship with him will change. It won't be all fun and games. He'll be her father. And the first time he has to discipline her will be a challenge. That isn't even taking into consideration how she will feel about the things I'd done. She will know that I lied, and I hope that doesn't diminish her trust in me. Hopefully, we will transition without a lot of bumps. But then again, that doesn't really seem to be the theme of my life. We make a turn onto a dirt road, and my curiosity spikes. Where the hell is he taking us? Hadley pulls her headphones out, and her face is glued to the window.
Are we there?
We are.
Connor says as he continues down the path.
Are there cows here?
I burst out laughing, and Connor looks over like I'm crazy. She thinks you're taking us cow riding because you seem so inept when it comes to the livestock you raise.
Hey, I know you don't put saddles on cows unless you're in a rodeo,
he protests with a joking tone.
Those are bulls,
she yells at him before covering her eyes with her hands.
Same thing. I know things.
Her hand drops, and she shakes her head.
You also didn't think you had to milk the cows.
You know, you were my favorite.
Now I'm reconsidering giving you Betsy the new calf that was born.
Apples! Hadley yells instead of responding, her attention wholly focused out her window. You brought us apple picking!
I glance back at Connor as he nods.
Well, we both love apple pie. I figured maybe we should get some and try to convince your mom to bake it.
She giggles as her feet kick wildly.
Best day ever!
I take Hadley pumpkin and apple picking each year, but Kevin never came with us. He was always too busy or too angry to do things with us. Connor is not only here, but also has planned it. He wanted to spend time with us. He put thought and effort into something that he couldn't know we enjoyed doing, and yet somehow he did know. The man managed to take a flippant comment about apple pies, a comment I'd made on the worst night of my life, and turn it into a joyful moment. He parks the car, and Hadley is out. I turn to him, and before I can stop myself, my lips part. I love you. Connor's beautiful green eyes fill with emotion.
I've loved you since the first moment I ever saw you.
I think I have too, but it's so soon and there is so much we still need to figure out. He grins and takes my hand in his.
We also have nothing but time. Now, let's go pick apples. And maybe tonight, we can start to make a plan on how to make this dysfunctional trio into a family.
And with that, he exits the car, and I wonder how I can ever thank his horrible father for forcing Connor Arrowwood to come back so he could find me.
Chapter 29. Connor. How many apples do we really need? I ask as Hadley puts another two in the wagon. Yes, we have a wagon because the kid picked half the orchard.
I like apples. They're good for you.
Okay, she has a point, but we don't need 50. Fair, but I think we have enough. Hadley stops, turns toward me, and puts her hands on her hips.
If we don't have enough apples, Mommy can't make pies.
I'm not really sure how to argue with that, but I can divert her attention to something else. Do you like pumpkin pie? She scrunches her nose.
Ew.
Now I'm not sure if she's my kid. How can she not like pumpkin pie? Have you ever had it?
No, because it's gross. Pumpkins are like a vegetable.
Ellie sighs beside me. You have no idea how much fun this can be. I don't think she understands that I couldn't care less about these arguments. I want to have a million of them. I'll debate whatever the little girl beside me wants to debate so long as I'm spending time with her. I'm not sure she can do anything I don't find interesting. Ellie shakes her head. Oh, I can't wait to see if you say that in a month. I can't either. I hope that it never gets old, although I know better. My brothers probably thought I was cute and interesting at some point. By the time I was two, I'd become their bargaining tool and scapegoat. Being the youngest meant I was stupid and listened to them. I'm sure it'll wear off in about 5 years.
Connor, look, they have a huge pumpkin.
She points at what has to be the biggest thing I've ever seen.
Can we get it?
I'm strong, but I'm not that strong. Ellie snorts beside me.
Hadley, we can't fit it in the car.
Hadley's eyes find another that is only marginally smaller than the other one.
Can we get a big one like this?
Did you bring the tractor? I ask. Does it work? Ellie says with a snort. My eyes narrow. Not yet. It apparently needs another part. Hadley grabs my hand and pulls me closer to it.
Then we can't bring it because it is still broken.
How does a 7-year-old master this level of sarcasm already? And we can't get a pumpkin the size of the car. Hadley gives a dramatic sigh.
Fine. Can we get a pony?
I say, not understanding how we went from a pumpkin to a pony. Ellie stands there with a grin as though this is the funniest thing, and an expression that says, I can't wait to see how Connor will handle the question. I can't promise that, Squirt. I can barely manage the cows. She looks off to the side, seeming to ponder that.
Okay.
That was easy.
Maybe soon.
she adds before taking my hand, stopping me from saying anything more.
Let's go look at the pumpkins. You know, the ones that Connor can lift without a crane.
We walk over to where there is a row of pumpkins and she studies each one intently.
Can you lift this one?
Hadley asks as she picks up one that's the size of her hand. I give her a pointed stare and she giggles. You're just messing with me.
I think you could lift all the pumpkins.
You must really think I'm strong. She nods.
You have big muscles, doesn't he, Mommy?
I look to Ellie with a sly grin. Yeah, Mommy, do I have big muscles? You have a big ego. Hadley scratches her head.
What's an ego?
Ellie sighs.
It's what you think about yourself, and it seems Connor thinks he's super strong and handsome.
He is handsome. You told Sydney you thought he was.
Hadley informs us. Ellie's lips part, and I can't avoid teasing her a bit. It's way too fun. You did, huh?
I might have mentioned it once.
Hadley puts her pumpkin down and comes over to take both our hands in hers.
I think you're handsome.
Well, thank you, Squirt, I say as I squeeze her hand. I think your mommy is very pretty.
Do you think I'm pretty?
I think you're beautiful, I tell her. The most beautiful girl in all of the world. Hadley beams under my praise and then releases Ellie's hand. Her arms wrap around my legs and she holds on tight. She gives the best hugs. They come from the center of her body and it's like tentacles wrapping around you.
You don't have to get me a pony, Connor.
I laugh because her mind just bounces on a whim. That's good.
I'll take a puppy instead.
Ellie snorts.
Let's start with a pumpkin and go from there.
Chapter 30. Today was perfect. Everything went even better than I could have planned. Hadley had fun. We got a ton of apples, pumpkins, and some weird-looking things that Ellie called gourds. Ellie is currently putting away the apples, and Hadley is waiting to head out to the treehouse. Not only did we get pumpkins for the house, but we also got them for the treehouse because she explained that all places need decorations. I may turn one of the cow pastures into a pumpkin patch to keep this kid happy.
You ready?
Ellie asks as she comes out with the two pumpkins and a tablecloth. What's that for?
Curtains.
Curtains?
Hadley needs to make the place a little homier, and curtains make a house a home.
I never knew they were so important. I look back at the house, which is curtainless. I think my father was drunk once and ripped all the curtain rods out of the walls. Not that I think curtains would have made this house a home. The only thing that did that was my father dying and no longer being here. I think the people inside it do that. I tell her as I pull her to my chest. You made this house a home. Ellie smiles softly and gives me a quick kiss.
I think we should tell her now.
Now? My heart begins to race and nerves hit me. I'm not a guy who feels fear. After my time in the military, I learned to breathe through it and not allow it in. In this moment, I can't stop it. Once we tell Hadley, her world will change. Mine has already been tilted on its axis, but I'm an adult. She's a child, and I worry about how she'll handle the news.
The longer we wait, the more I feel like we're taking this from her. She should know that her father cared enough about her to give her a day like this. I want to give her this. You as her father.
My mouth opens, but words don't come. I can feel my palms start to sweat, and I feel like a kid again. Not the grown man I am. It's nerves and excitement and adrenaline and anticipation.
Are you not ready?
No, I am, I say quickly. It has nothing to do with being ready. I've never been more ready for anything. I'm sure, and I want to tell her. I just didn't think you were.
It's time.
She's right, it is time. Let's head out to the treehouse. Hadley comes running outside carrying a basket and her doll.
I brought cider, cups, and cookies.
Where did you get the cookies?
Ellie asks.
The kitchen.
I asked for that.
I hold in a chuckle because Hadley has great timing for a 7-year-old. The three of us make the trek out to the tree that has come to mean more to me than I ever could have known. Here is where I hid when I was scared and found what I had lost. Now, hopefully, it's where yet another piece of my life will fall into place. We walk quietly. Well, Ellie and I are quiet. Hadley chatters about puppies and pumpkins until she spots the treehouse. Then she's off like an arrow and climbs the staircase I built for her. It's nothing like any treehouse I would have ever had. It has a roof, 2 windows, and a small porch on the back, which was my addition to it this week. I don't want this place to be somewhere she hides. I want it to mean something else for her. The treehouse should bring her joy and be a place where memories are formed. So I'm probably going to end up giving her a bathroom, kitchen, electricity, and plumbing by the time I'm done.
You put a deck on?
Ellie asks. I have no idea how that got there. She rolls her eyes.
You know she was happy with just the piece of plywood as a floor as long as you came out here with her.
That is exactly why I've gone above and beyond with building this place. I do, but she should have everything I can give her. That kid has been through hell, and if this is the one thing I can do that makes her smile, I'll do it. Ellie takes both my hands and stares up at me. The words she said to me earlier still echo in my heart, and I am anxious to hear them again. Both of us are oblivious until we hear Hadley's voice from beside us.
Are you going to marry my mom?
No one can ever say this kid is subtle. Maybe someday, but right now, we're taking it one day at a time. I hope that's the right answer.
Would you like Connor to be in your life forever?
Ellie asks, and it's clear where she's planning to transition this conversation to. I choke back my nerves. If Ellie thought telling her that I'm her biological father would upset her, we wouldn't be out here right now.
Yes, I love him, and he's my best friend. Plus, he's funny and handsome, and he is going to get me a puppy.
I never said that.
You will. You love me, and I'm adorable.
She bats her eyelashes, and her lips are a tight line. She is adorable, and I have a feeling she's probably right. I'm a sucker when it comes to her, hence the deck on a treehouse.
Well, be that as it may,
Ellie says swiftly, clearly unimpressed with her charm.
What if I told you that a long time ago, before you were born, I met Connor?
You knew each other?
Hadley looks back and forth between us, and I nod. We did.
We met once, and it was very special.
Ellie continues.
You see, your grandma and grandpa had died not too long before that, and I was very sad. Connor made me feel happy and helped my heart that day.
She looks to me and smiles.
Like he did for me?
Exactly. I cut in. I happen to like making you two happy. Ellie releases a shaky breath.
What I want to tell you is that, well, that night, God gave me a baby.
Me?
She bobs her head quickly with a smile.
Yes, you, my beautiful, perfect, sweet little girl. Connor and I got a test that told us he is actually your real dad.
But I already have a dad.
I squat beside her. You do, but you and I have the same blood. Ellie gets to her knees and takes Hadley's hands in hers.
We didn't know until a few days ago, and your dad and I got married right after I met Connor. But Connor is your father, not Kevin.
We both are still as stone as we wait for Hadley to say something. She stands there, processing what she just found out.
Daddy isn't my daddy?
She asks. Her voice quivers a bit. Fuck, this is breaking my heart. I love her and I don't want to cause her pain. But at the same time, I'm glad we're telling her.
No, baby, but you don't have to stop loving him. I don't know when you'll see him again, but he can always be in your heart.
I think about what he said to Ellie and have to force back my demand that Hadley not even give him that much. She's kindness and everything good in this world, and he is nothing but poison. I'm glad he was so willing to give them away because I'm more than willing to keep them. Hadley, I say with my heart in my throat, I don't want to confuse you or make you sad. You don't have to call me Dad or anything until you want to. And if you never do, I'll always be Connor to you. If I had known you were mine, I would have found you right away. But I will be as much a part of your life as you want me to be. And nothing has to change for us until you're ready for it. She looks up at me, her eyes filled with confusion.
You're my dad?
I am. And I really am happy that you're my daughter. Hadley drops Ellie's hold and walks over to me. Her little hands frame my face and she smiles.
I wanted you to be my daddy too.
With that, my entire world shifts, and I swear that I could fucking cry.
I'm not tired,
Hadley complains.
If you don't go to bed now, you'll never get up for school.
Ellie doesn't allow her any room to negotiate.
Go brush your teeth.
There's a part of me that wants to ask Ellie to let her stay home. After a day like we had, surely we can pretend the world around us doesn't exist for just a bit longer. Go on, Squirt, I say, backing up Ellie because I may want to keep Hadley home, but I'm not a fool. The look of appreciation on her face tells me I did well, and I want to do well. I want to be the partner who supports her, which means I can't always be the good guy. If Dempsey and Miller could see me now. Here I am, Mr. Domestic and happy as fuck dealing with it. I never understood it before, how a kid could change your whole world. I watched Liam literally go from Bachelor of the Year to a family man in just a few months. I thought maybe Natalie had some kind of golden pussy or something, but I was a fucking tool. It was love. It was finding that another human was so important that you were willing to forget all your stupid rules. Ellie is the piece of my heart I didn't know was missing. She's brought me to my knees, and I don't care if I can't ever stand again. For her, I'd stay here, at her feet, as long as I have her here. Hadley mopes to the bathroom, and a second later, I hear the water run as she starts her bedtime routine.
What are you thinking?
Ellie asks as she comes up to me, wrapping her arms around my waist in a display of affection she usually only leaves for once Hadley is asleep. That I love you. She smiles at that, her eyes filling with love and a little bit of apprehension. I can't wait for the day when I don't see the second part.
Say it again.
I love you. I say it without pause, and I'll say it a million times over again until she believes it. She'll never know what it means that she said it to me without prompt. Ellie leans up on her toes and gives me a soft kiss.
I love you too, Connor. And today was... well, it was everything. She took it better than I could have ever imagined, and it feels as if the world is smiling down on us.
Because it is. We deserve to be happy, and I think we've both had enough shit to last us a lifetime.
I agree, and hopefully...
She kisses me again, and her eyes darken just a bit.
We have some more happy tonight.
How happy? Ellie shrugs.
We'll see.
God, this woman is trying to kill me. I would like to be very, very happy, but I'll take whatever I can get with her. I may be patient, but I'm a man who is very much in love with the woman in my arms, and I'd like to show her. She disentangles herself and tucks her hair behind her ear right as Hadley bursts into the living room.
Can Connor read to me tonight?
Ellie looks to me. That's normally something she does for Hadley, so I wait for her to give me the go-ahead.
Of course,
Ellie says with a smile that I can't read.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Thank you, Mommy.
Hadley runs over to her, hugs her tight, and then rushes to me.
Ready?
Ready. Then Hadley practically drags me into the bedroom that has become hers. The bed has been moved away from the window since she was afraid of something outside it, and the sheets are pink instead of the deep blue that used to be on Sean's bed. It was strange to me that my father hated us enough to beat us, but hadn't thrown away anything that would have reminded him of us after we left. Everything was as it was when we lived here, like how my mother left it, until we cleaned it out and got rid of the baggage. Over the last few months, things have just shown up. There's a plant in the living room, flowers on the table, and those mats on the floor in the bathroom. Day by day, Ellie has made this house into more. Now we're becoming a family. And that makes me happy. So, how does your mom usually do this? Hadley sits on the bed and pats the blanket.
First, you have to pick a book. I like those over there.
Okay, pick the book. I feel like a total idiot. I should have known that much. I walk over to the stack and look for one that looks more worn. I'm assuming she has a favorite. Any of them you like more? She shrugs.
I love all of those.
Green Eggs and Ham? I ask. Who doesn't love Dr. Seuss? My brothers and I loved Go Dogs Go. No surprise, it was all about going fast and not liking hats. Hadley's eyes brighten.
I do not like Green Eggs and Ham.
I do not like them, but Hadley can. I wink at her and come to the bed, not really sure where to sit. Hadley scoots over and I take her cue. I rest with my back on the wall and then she mimics my position, but instead of her head lying back, she rested on my arm. Her little hands grip my bicep and I swear she's holding my heart instead. I look down at her, wondering what God ever thought I was worthy enough to be a father. After all the bad things I've done, I don't deserve her. Still, she's mine, and I vow a new promise right now. I will never do anything to shame her. I will be honest, devoted, and dependable.
Will you read it?
She asks, staring up at me. I will, I answer, but not to the question, but to my own silent vow.
How did you meet my mom?
She asks after I read the first page. Crap. I can't not answer, so I'm going to be vague. It's a good plan, I think. We met at a restaurant. It isn't a lie. They serve food there, and I actually took Ellie there for a date last week. It qualifies.
Did you kiss her?
Oh, God, where is Ellie? I kissed her, yes. Hadley mulls that over.
Did you love her?
Your mom is very lovable. In my head, I just keep hearing the word evade. I want to evade all possible questions and get the story read. So I open the book back up and start, but Hadley isn't having it.
Do you think you'll marry her?
Maybe answering a question with a question is the best bet. Do you want me to marry her? She nods.
Then you'll really be my dad.
Here's where I'm treading again. I don't want to scare her with the reality of what this all means for her. But at the same time, I want to reassure her that when it comes to me, I'm here for good. I will never abandon her. I'm really your dad now. I will always be your father, Hadley, always. You and I are family in blood and in our hearts. She smiles at that.
So no matter what, I will always be your daughter?
Always.
Even if you and Mommy don't get married?
Even if that never happens. Hadley's eyes brighten before she drops her head on my arm.
I'm glad.
Me too, Squirt. Me too.
You can read now.
And so I do. After 20 minutes and two more books, because I can't seem to deny her anything, I head out to the living room where I'm hoping to find a happy Ellie. I find her reading a book on the couch, and I lean against the doorframe to look at her. She's so beautiful. Her dark brown hair is pulled up on the top of her head, and she has her glasses on. There's no effort in her beauty. It just is. She chews on her bottom lip and then turns the page. I want to pull her into my arms and kiss her senseless. Reading anything good? I ask. Unable to stay away from her a minute longer. She jumps a little and then smiles.
A romance about two people who found each other again. They were apart for a while. Both of them wondered about the other, but obstacles kept them apart.
So it's an autobiography?
It seems a little like us, only less drama.
I grin and move toward her. I could do with less drama. Ellie puts the book down and then snuggles herself in my arms after I sit.
The drama is what keeps it real, though. Life is filled with ups and downs. It's the pain that allows us to feel the good parts. If I'd never known the sadness of being with the wrong man when you came back to Sugarloaf, I don't know that it would have been the same.
Maybe that is the case, but that doesn't mean I like the idea of Ellie ever having felt that kind of sadness. I would have rather found you happy with him than in the hell you were, even if that meant I could never have you. She settles against my side.
I would rather have you. I don't think my heart was ever really anyone else's. I'm where I belong.
I hate that you went through so much in the time it took for me to find you again. Ellie tilts her face so she's looking up at me and gives me a soft smile.
It's all over now. My divorce will be final soon, and Hadley is ours. We can figure the rest out and move on from our pasts.
I start to say more, but there's a pounding on the door. Stay here, I command. No one ever drops by here. I go to the shelf that houses a hidden gun safe. It takes a second to scan my finger, but then the front drops open, and I grab the gun. Ellie's eyes widen, but she doesn't move. I probably should have mentioned the house has many things like this. When I promised to protect her, I meant it. I hold the gun down at my side, ready to eliminate any threat. There's another knock. What can I do for you? I say, hand ready to react. You can open the fucking door before I freeze my ass off. Fuck. I really didn't need this tonight. I put the gun down on the side table, open the door, and release a sigh while glaring at the asshole standing on the porch. Declan has come for a visit. I wonder why. What, not happy to see me? No, welcome home, brother. It's nice to see you. Unexpected to see you, Deck. Didn't know you'd be coming by. Yeah, I talked to Jacob and Sean and drew the short straw to come check on things. Make sure the conversation we had wasn't because of some head injury. And meet your girl. Good for him, but I don't want him here. I was about to have a happy night, and that has just disappeared. Go find a hotel, I say, and try to shut the door.
Connor?
Ellie says from the other side.
Is everything okay?
My brother pushes through the door, his smile as wide and as charming as ever. You must be Ellie. I'm Declan, this ingrate's older and more dashing brother. His hand slaps on my shoulder. I didn't mean to intrude on your night, but I had a few days with no meetings and wanted to come out.
Oh!
She rushes forward with her hand out.
It's so nice to meet you. I'm Ellie, which you knew, and, well, I've heard so much about you.
Ellie's voice is soft, and then she looks down.
I'm a mess. Please don't judge me on this.
Of course not. It's late, and I drop by unexpected. Please don't judge me on whatever manners my brother doesn't have, and we'll call it even. She laughs, and I shoot daggers at the back of his head. Such a fucking tool. Deck was going to find a hotel. I make my way to stand beside Ellie. I have no idea what exactly my brother's motives are for coming here. I don't think it's just for a friendly visit, though. If I had to guess, he's here to make sure Ellie is real and that my request for land